The 45th president of the United States can turn himself into authorities early next week, possibly on Tuesday, because as you likely know by now, Donald Trump was indicted yesterday by a New York grand jury in relation to the investigation into a non-disclosure agreement allegedly to hide an extramarital affair. So the New York district attorney, the far-left prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, claims the payments associated with that non-disclosure agreement were actually campaign donations that were not reported as such. So here we go, Kevin. This elevates things a bit. There's so many questions we have as to the ramifications of this, I think politically, civilly, and of course, legally as well.
It is a historic day, Tom, and not in a good way. For the first time, a former president of the United States has been charged with a crime. Whether you are celebrating, which believe it or not, some people are, or appalled or just saddened by this, it is not a good look for a former president to be charged criminally. I think it's dangerous to be charging the top candidate for president of the United States unless you have a rock-solid case. We don't know yet. We haven't seen the charges. It's hard to think about what's next. Donald Trump turning himself in, fingerprinted, mugshots, appear in court, ask for bail. Will a judge give him bail? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in that jurisdiction? A jury is going to sit there and decide guilt or innocence. And if it's guilt, does Donald Trump get sentenced? Does he get probation? Does he go to jail? Whatever happens to Donald Trump, he's going to get more popular. And he's going to most likely be the front runner in the Republican Party. Joining us now is Todd Flood of Flood Law. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a sad day.
It is a sad day. Time. Absolutely. Yeah. You've been a prosecutor. Yeah. You've been a defense attorney. What do you make of Alvin Bragg's charging candidate and former President Donald Trump?
I think it's an odd charge at this time. They didn't do it last year. Time has gone on. You got to remember, this is a 2016 situation. You know, I'm curious about how the statute of limitations is going to work out on this case. I think that this case is far from a slam dunk on a government side. You have to, you know, get into specific intent that he attempted to defraud or intended to defraud the government. That specific intent to defraud is going to be very difficult to show, right? He could be doing it for a myriad of reasons. Also, the charge in and of itself is confusing because you have to prove basically, one, that you know he was using this money to cover up a crime. I think you basically have to prove two crimes almost to show the proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And as a prosecutor, no one's above the law. No one stands above the law. And I get that. That makes sense, right? But when you charge a case, normally, if you're going to charge something like this to a former president, you want to be able to have the proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And there's several cases and investigations of Trump going on right now. Of the many cases, optically, this looks like the weakest of the cases. And to your point, Kevin, this is going to do, I think, a lot for Trump and his attack on the media, attack on New York. It's gonna embolden everything around him, everybody around him. And I don't know if that was the play, if this is what they were attempting to do. It just seems to me to be odd to charge this at this time and the weakest case of any of the cases for which he's under investigation with.
You mentioned statute of limitations and other hurdles. Judges are not supposed to be political, but as we know, some are. How important is the judge that Donald Trump draws in this case?
Oh, I think that's going to be very important. You know, a judge is not supposed to be, obviously not to be political and do more than call balls and strikes, but also stand tall, and justice has to have courage. Right. You have to have courage from the bench and stay neutral in this case and read the law and interpret the law and follow the law, not any political bend. This case is going to be rife with motions. The defense team on this case is going to be ready for motion day. It'll be a long time before this ever gets to a jury. So my thought is that the judge is going to have to call those balls and strikes and stay away from any political leaning. So it will be important. This will be a crucial point in the case. And the next thing is, you know, obviously the very first thing that you're going to see is probably a motion for a change of venue. But I doubt very seriously that works, just because it's a very high bar to get over. What state, what place, what location is not going to have been privy to these charges and the political landscape of former President Trump?
Yeah, to that point, I mean, this jurisdiction, I think it's like 85% voted for Joe Biden in the last election. So it does seem to be an area that is, you know, anti-Trump, vast majority of it. Is that a high enough bar? I mean, does that reach that high bar in order to maybe get a different venue? Because there's already an anti-Trump bias in that jurisdiction.
So you have to, the normal rule of thumb is you have to attempt to impanel a jury prior to a jury being basically a change of venue. You have to attempt to get a fair jury, a fair and impartial jury. And if you can't get a fair and impartial jury, then, you know, you get to change the venue. Just because it's politically bent one way or the other obviously doesn't bode well for him. But at the same time, you have to attempt to make it happen. So I think you will be able to impanel a jury. Where are you going to go in this country that someone hasn't heard about this saga? So it's going to be, you know, if you went to a place where it was predominantly Republicans and not Democrats, that's going to be an issue as well.
Sure.
So I just don't see any place having 100% neutral location for political slant one way or the other.
He's just an incredibly polarizing figure, obviously. Does that go into this, though? I mean, this is going to be such a highly publicized case. Alvin Bragg has a lot riding on this himself. He wants to win re-election, so he can't blow this case, you know, from his perspective. Do you think he has enough here? Does he have a good chance of actually succeeding? I mean, his career is riding on this.
I got to be honest with you, Tom. I question whether or not he has enough, because there seems to me to be a lot of potential defenses that could come up to get a not guilty. You got to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt, right? That's the standard. It's not a lesser standard. You can't just put your thumb in the air and think he's guilty, feel he's guilty, want him to be guilty. No, the prosecution has that burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. I think it's that there's some defenses, because you have to show this specific intent that he intended to defraud on that on the underlying crime. So that being said, I don't think this is a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So he charged this case based on probable cause, and not probable cause that the crime was committed, and probable cause that former President Trump committed this crime. It's not a standard. It's a standard that everyone accepts within the prosecutor's office, but for the prosecutor's positions. But in doing this one, I'm going to ask myself, can I prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 people sitting in a jury box?
Yeah.
And let me go through the case. Let me follow the facts and the evidence, and can I prove it?
Yeah. And maybe that's not the goal. Maybe it's to damage him politically, which would be highly concerning if that's the case. We appreciate your perspective. As always, Todd Flood, managing partner at Flood Law. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. How does this impact Donald Trump politically? We'll get into that next here on 760 WJR.